Chapter 4. Whether you have been sent to see the principal of your school for throwing wet paper towels at the ceiling to see if they stick, or taken to the dentist to plead with him to hollow out one of your teeth so you can smuggle a single page of your latest book past the guards at the airport, it is never a pleasant feeling to stand outside the door of an office and, as the Baudelaire orphans stood at the door, reading Office of the Head of Human Resources, they were reminded of all the unpleasant offices they had recently visited. On their very first day at Prufrock Preparatory School, before they had even met Isadora and Duncan Quagmire, the Baudelaires had visited the office of Vice Principal Nero and learnt about all of the Academy's strict and unfair rules. When they worked at Lucky Smell's lumber mill, the siblings had been summoned to the office of the owner, who made clear just how dreadful their situation really was. And, of course, Violet, Klaus and Sonny had been many, many times to Mr. Poe's office at the bank, where he coughed and talked on the phone and made decisions about the Baudelaire's future that had not proved to be good ones. But even if the children had not had all these unfortunate experiences in offices, it was perfectly understandable that the Baudelaire children had to stand for a few moments in front of the 17th door on the left and gather their courage to knock. "I'm not sure we should take this risk," Violet said. "If Babs has read this morning's edition of the Daily Punctilio, she'll recognize us as soon as we walk through the door. We might as well be knocking on the door of our jail cell." "But the Library of Records might be our only hope," Klaus said. "We need to find out who Jacques Snicket really was, where he worked, and how he knew us. If we get some evidence, we can convince people that Count Olaf is still alive, and that we're not murderers."
"Curoi,"
Sonny added, which meant, "Besides, the Quagmire triplets are far, far away, and we have only a few pages of their notebooks. We need to find the real meaning of B.F.D.' "Sonny's right," Klaus said. "In the Library of Records we might even solve the mystery of that underground passageway that led from Jerome and Esme Squalor's apartment to the ashy remains of the Baudelaire mansion."
"Hafiku,"
Sonny said. She meant something like, "And the only way we'll get into the Library of Records is if we talk to Babs, so it's a risk we have to take." "All right," Violet said, looking down at her sister and smiling. "You've convinced me. But if Babs begins looking at us suspiciously, we'll leave. Agreed?"
"Agreed,"
Klaus said.
"Yep,"
Sonny said, and knocked on the door.
"Who is it?"
Babs's voice called out.
"It's three members of Volunteers Fighting Disease," Violet replied. "We're here to volunteer at the Library of Records."
"Come in,"
Babs commanded, and the children opened the door and walked into the office.
"I was wondering when someone would show up,"
the head of human resources continued.
"I was just finishing up reading this morning's paper. These three terrible children are running around killing people."
The Baudelaires looked at one another and were about to run back out of the door when they saw something in the office that changed their minds. The office of the head of human resources at Heimlich Hospital was a small one, with a small desk, two small chairs, and a small window decorated with two small curtains. On the windowsill was a small vase of yellow flowers, and on the wall was a small tasteful portrait of a man leading a horse to a small pond of fresh water. But it was not the furnishings, the flower arrangement, or the tasteful artwork that made the three orphans stop. Babs's voice had come from the direction of the desk, which the Baudelaires had expected, but what they hadn't expected was that Babs was not sitting behind the desk, or on the desk, or even beneath it. Instead, a small square intercom speaker, just like the ones on the outside of the hospital, had been placed in the middle of the desk, and it was from this speaker that the speaking had been spoken.